Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
All that stuff about last week, I was just kidding. That was just April Fool's. Yeah. Just teasing. I didn't even think about last week being April Fool's. So I had a number of people come to me afterwards and say, is that what you were doing? And I was like, no, I'm not that creative to think about that.
No. Not an April Fool's joke that he's not running for re-election. Not at all an April Fool's joke that Matt Gaetz and all the stuff that's going on around him. But just when you thought, you know, we're just going to go ahead and have an ordinary press conference. Things got a little different yesterday.
Although I did have a dream this morning. I was having to wait. I was waiting for Don Parker to call me, and I had to call Cat Country to tell Candy, so much we appreciate her, and I'm sorry she was going to be leaving. But I had this dream that Andrew McKay was running for mayor, and somehow in between the dream, by the end of it, he had actually won mayor. So, Andrew, congratulations. I will have my wife talk to your wife. I'm not sure that's the best career move for you, but anyways, I did have a dream that you were...
In the fictional dream mayor category, I'm 1-0.
You did win. Now you didn't get to take office yet, so I don't know how that goes. I might have to wait another day for that. But I did want to at least congratulate you.
Well, it's meant to be then.
I guess
that's a sign, Andrew. You have to run.
Grover Robinson is a prophet from on high, and he's had a dream, and his dream is me as mayor. Yeah, so I go home, and my first words to my wife were, because my wife always asks me, you know, anything happened at work that was interesting? I'm like, well, the mayor had a prophetic dream about me. She says, do tell. Oh, no. I don't even live in the city, you know? I mean, I love the city, don't get me wrong, but I don't live in the city. You don't want to elect me. I'm not an administrator, and no, this is all good. So then, I think the mayor, weirdly coming back off vacation, might be working too much. If he's having all these, you know, media contact dreams and people, things swirling in his head, and he's got me not just running, but actually elected. Yeah, so that was interesting. Now, the question had come up, and I actually talked to him briefly about this last week. You'll remember in his weekly Wednesday interview with me, he kind of mentioned the question. Well, he didn't ask me about whether I want to run for Congress. Also, because I think Matt's going to probably wind up running. We'll see. I mean, I don't know what's going to turn out with this congressional thing with Congressman Gaetz. I guess somebody did a poll yesterday. It's a little early to be doing a poll on a seat that is still occupied, but I mean, you know, people have their political interests. And they were asking all kinds of weird names, I guess. Rebecca Bidlack, who she's a friend, but she doesn't live here anymore. She lives in D.C. She ran against Mike Hill for District 1 a couple years ago, remember, before he lost to Michelle Salzman. You know, people like Chris Dosev, Frank White, I mean, you know, sort of the normal names you would think of as being possibles. A couple of national media people. It's just a weird poll. But okay, it's a little early, as I say. But ask the question specifically, does he want to run for Congress? I know his answer is no. Why did he say he's not running for re-election? He doesn't like the tone of national politics and the divisiveness. And he cares about local things. He's not interested in the congressional seat. Now, if somebody offered it to him, would he turn it down? I mean, every politician has dreams. But I just don't think he wants it.
The interesting part is my children, who couldn't wait for me to get out of local government fast enough, have actually said they both want me to run for Congress. But I'm not sure that's going to be enough to sway my wife and I in there. And again, it's one of those things that it's come up before, and it just hadn't been what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I don't think that he wants it because, again, he likes local issues.
I feel very, very passionate about local politics and what happens here locally in Pensacola and Escambia County in Northwest Florida. I feel like I've made a difference in those areas, and those are the areas where I really wanted to participate. And at this particular time, once I get to 16 years, that's going to feel like enough. So it's time for me to move aside and let Andrew come in and do what he needs to do.
So This is a recurring theme yesterday in the mayor's press conference about Andrew running for. And we decided what my wife was going to be the city administrator, and you were going to be my press person. Is that what we decided? Okay, or logistician, something like you got to run the organizational.
I'm
elements.
Telling people when they can and can't speak.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that part. One question that did come up yesterday because I raised it was we're now moving into budget. And I wanted to know about the use of Force Simulator / the virtual training modules that Pensacola former police chief and now assistant or chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Tommy Leiter, had asked for. Remember when Grover and he went to the county commission back with the CARES money and said, hey, we need this so that we can safely train our police officers? And the county's like, we'll look out for you, but we're not looking at that. And there's a lot of, you know, hey, well, is the sheriff's office going to get it? And all this kind of, you know. So the city had gone and said, here's what we want. Can we have it? And this was back when the money went to the county. Well, now the money's coming straight to the city. And so I asked the question, well, you know, we're getting for the city now that you got control of the money.
In the first round of CARES money, you and Chief Leiter went to the county and asked for some training facilities, including, I think, a use of force simulator, which they currently don't have. Now that you guys have your own money, are you planning to budget for that?
It's one of the things that we're looking at. Absolutely. You know, it was good in so many ways when we talk about training and we talk about some of the, I mean, obviously all those things came out in the grand jury report, and it is tough to train. But this is a chance to both enhance our training, which was important, but do it in a safe way that people are by themselves.
So that's not a 100% yes, but based on the ask of the county and the need in the police department, I would hope that's going to be a yes. That was a soft yes. So we'll kind of see how this pans out. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm curious your thoughts on the first day of using the traffic light yesterday at Avalon Garcon Point. Based on my informal survey online, it was a catastrophic failure, which is not surprising. Hopefully better timing comes in the future, but we'll see. Davis out. So 437-1620 if you want to weigh in on that.
Is there any indication, given the year of data we have on transmission patterns, of whether warmer weather will have any impact on the spread of the virus?
We have not seen seasonal trends with this virus so far. We certainly had surges over the summer. Respiratory viruses tend to have seasonal trends, as do coronaviruses specifically. But I think we haven't yet seen that, so I think we're going to have to be careful throughout the spring and the summer here.
Yeah, I have to assume that's not the case. Why does it seem to come and go? Nobody's quite sure. Why do we have waves and valleys? Nobody's quite sure. But it doesn't seem to be connected seasonally one way or the other. That's Rochelle Walensky, CDC Director Anthony Fauci, confirming.
Just to underscore the last point that Dr. Walensky made, you might remember a year ago, or a little bit more than a year ago, when we were looking for the summer to rescue us from surges, it was in fact the opposite. We saw some substantial surges in the summer. I don't think we should even think about relying on the weather to bail us out of anything we're in right now.
Yeah, and even some of the early stuff about, you know, the heat outside or the sunlight outside turns out to be less effective than had originally been sold. 6:22 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Somebody is asking about Garcon Point Road and Avalon, the new light in there that's a red, yellow, green light now that's not flashing anymore. I asked, you know, how's it working? And they're like, I just saw a car turn left on red from Garcon Point Road. It's a fail, which doesn't surprise me. A, it's a new light. People are going to miss it. B, I think if you're stuck at the light on Garcon and there's no traffic, you're like, no cars, no cops. I mean, that's how people think, especially early in the morning when you don't think anybody else is wrong. Yeah, it's a mess. Yesterday, I was watching this all day on the traffic maps, and I'm like, oh, God, it's worse. It's worse than normal, which is kind of what we worried would happen, too. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
COVID-19 vaccinations continue to increase.
Nearly a quarter of American adults are now fully vaccinated, and 4 in 10 have had at least one shot. But new cases are up. The government opens 3 new mass vaccination sites this week. We're now averaging 3 million shots a day.
That's NBC's Tracy Potts. Jurors in the Derek Chauvin murder trial will be back in court this morning for day 7. Yesterday, they heard from the top cop in Minneapolis, who said the former officer absolutely violated policy when he knelt on George Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes.
Yeah, I thought his actual comment on this was so just sobering. And to hear it, it was exactly what I think everybody, all the law enforcement that we've talked to said the same thing.
Once there was no longer any resistance, and clearly when Mr. Floyd was no longer responsive and even motionless, to continue to apply that level of force to a person proned out, handcuffed behind their back, that in no way, shape, or form is anything that is by policy, is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
More testimony expected today. The jury has now heard from 20 witnesses. A Texas-based company showing off its work after fully surveying the world's deepest known shipwreck. A crew from Caledon Oceanic took a vessel to map and film the USS Johnston, the World War II Navy destroyer sunk during a battle with Japan in 1944 in the Pacific. Wow, 21,180 feet below
That's
the surface.
4 miles?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. See, I'm always amazed by the depth of the ocean.
I think there's probably more about the bottom of the ocean that we don't know than we don't know about outer space.
Or the tops of mountains. Yeah. Right. Because the environment is so hostile, difficult to navigate safely. Yeah, that's amazing to think of something 21,000 feet down. Unbelievable. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 625, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, just received a tip, by the way, that the traffic eastbound on Gulf Breeze Parkway is backed up to the Sonic Drive-In right now, and they believe it's due to the light that's over on Avalon. So This is something that we're going to see all day. So right now, traffic eastbound on Gulf Breeze Parkway backed up to Sonic. And I am seeing delays the northern span of Garcon Point Bridge. Now, I am noticing also that if you're going over the hump, it does clear up a little bit because I'm not seeing delays at the light itself at the intersection of Garcon Road and Avalon. So for right now, I'm not seeing delays there. That will change here momentarily. I-10, I-110 checking in clear and still no delays at either gate of NAS Pensacola. This report is brought to you by ECUA's Recycle Coach app. It's here. It's free. And it includes recycling do's and don'ts, sanitation collection reminders. You can report a problem and a lot more. Download it today. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So there's kind of two views of healthcare. One view is, you know, when something on your body breaks or you have a catastrophic illness, you go see the doctor. The other view, a little bit smarter view, is routine regular checkups, right? To have them look you over, ask you questions, check and make sure that you head any problems off before they get to be real big problems. We all know that's the right approach to taking care of your body. Well, your car is a very complex mechanical instrument that doesn't even self-correct the way your body does. And so having it looked over occasionally by an expert, that just makes sense. It's not just the routine scheduled maintenance that you need, although that's true too for tune-ups and oil changes and belts and hoses and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's having somebody look it over that understands what can a car go wrong, how can it go wrong before it actually goes wrong. That's the philosophy of Bobby Likas Auto Care. The idea is to do that preventative maintenance so you don't have big problems, you don't have expensive problems, you head them off at the pass, so to speak, and get them fixed before it's an issue. I went there recently for an oil change, easy peasy, in, out, no problem. Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway or online at carclinicservice.com. You know what I think we need at that light? I think FDOT needs to take the road rangers that we don't have on staff anymore that were on the 3 mile bridge when it was open, just put one of them at the light, run on the light. They don't have a response capability there. They don't have a remote, it's not part of the ATMS. It's just, they got to get the timing right. And, you know, they're going to adjust it. The reason I didn't book FDOT for this morning is because I thought, let's give them 2 days, because first day is going to be terrible no matter what they do. And second day, they're going to adjust. If it's still like this, I will definitely get them on to yell at them because as everything that I've heard is terrible. This light is just an absolute catastrophe. Somebody texted me and said, Andrew, you know that video you shot of when people stop when it's a blinking looking yellow and how much of a nightmare that makes. Yeah, he's like, it's like that all the time. Oh, man. You know, you thought it couldn't get any worse. You thought it couldn't get any worse. Along comes the solution, right? Now, most of the solutions have been good, right? The expanded lane on I-10, the expanded turn lane down Avalon to 98. That's all good stuff. I don't know why they haven't done a better job of barricading off that left turn lane going east on 98 to into the turn or widen that or something, but they haven't. You know, it takes time. Oh, my God. He says the Road Rangers are on Avalon. Oh, stop. Stop. I don't want that. They're in the wrong place then. 629 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. The Trump Twitter case, right, where people sued Trump for blocking them on Twitter, saying he's a public official and they should have access to him. Basically, the court said it's moot. He's out of office. It's all over. They did say that this is an issue that is going to need addressing. It's just that this isn't the right case to do it. So, you know, that's going to come as an issue because the rules about blocking people online and the rules about access to public information that we go with in other circumstances, they're just not well fit for each other. And so there needs to be some serious thinking about how the technology platforms work for public officials, what is right and what is, you know, needed for public information, and then what kind of control they have to prevent graffiti, trolls, that kind of stuff. And it's not settled yet. This is all kind of in flux at the moment.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Contract drug manufacturer Catalent is expanding its U.S. production of the COVID-19 vaccine from Moderna, a development that could ensure the U.S. has ample supply as it ramps up vaccinations. The Wall Street Journal says Catalent has reached an agreement with Moderna that will nearly double the vaccine output at the contract manufacturer's Bloomington, Indiana plant this month to about 400 vials a minute. The upgraded plants will be able to fill an additional 80 million vials a year. The massive natural gas bills incurred during the Texas freeze have kicked off a spate of lawsuits around the country as companies argue over who is responsible for the tab. At least 30 lawsuits related to natural gas contracts have been filed in four states since the February storm that knocked out power for millions of Texans and sent gas prices soaring to their highest level in years. The bulk of the suits are in Texas courts and involve some of the world's biggest companies, including ExxonMobil and Koch Industries. That's Your Money Now.
You know more because you listen to Brian Kilmeade, 11 to 1 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This money funds enormous salaries for coaches and others in huge athletic departments, but the athletes themselves have a pretty hard life. They face training requirements that leave little time or energy for study, constant pressure to put sports above study, pressure to drop out of hard majors and hard classes, really shockingly low graduation rates. Only a tiny percentage ever go on to make any money in professional sports. So the argument is they are recruited, they're used up, and then they're cast aside without even a college degree. So they say, how can this be defended in the name of amateurism?
Wow. I listen to a lot of Supreme Court oral arguments because it's the best philosophy going. It's the most interesting, honest, intellectual, usually very rigorous discussion of any topic, period, end stop. I mean, that's it. It's really good stuff. Sometimes it's a lot in the weeds, and you just have to know which ones to not care too much about. But the NCAA's rules about amateurism, the avoidance of compensation of student athletes, and all of the surrounding questions became a case that went to the Supreme Court, NCAA versus Alston. It's a class action lawsuit saying the NCAA is infringing on our... Basically, it's saying that their rules about amateurism and pay are ridiculous. And I think we all know that they are. The question is, what's the remedy? So this is Justice Alito, Samuel Alito. And that was the tone from everybody. Like, it's usually kind of... I don't know, there's a split ideologically on the court, or they're a little bit kinder in the way they approach it, but this was full of soliloquies talking about how wrong the NCAA is here. Now, so give you an example, okay? Elena Kagan, very liberal. Samuel Alito, very conservative. And yet, they're in lockstep on this particular issue. This is a longer interaction between Kagan and Waxman, who was the attorney for the NCAA.
Mr. Waxman, the way you talk about amateurism, it sounds awfully high-minded. But there's another way to think about what's going on here. And that's that schools that are naturally competitors as to athletes have all gotten together in an organization that has undisputed market power. And they use that power to fix athletic salaries at extremely low levels, far lower than what the market would set if it were allowed to operate. So why shouldn't we think of it in just that kind of way, that these are competitors all getting together with total market power, fixing prices?
I mean, that's what they do, right? Ohio State and Michigan, right? All of the competitors, right? Florida State, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, all get together and agree, we're not going to pair athletes, right? Not going to pair athletes, right? In order to keep this thing called, you know, amateur sports. But we are going to pair athletes in things like scholarships and certain amount of internships, and there are certain rules about what is allowed, and under the lower court's ruling, there's some different rules that haven't yet really been implemented. But this is the question, right? What is fair? What is appropriate? So he tries to answer her.
Well.
By the way, that's a really good indication of, oh, crap. I'm in trouble on this one. Everybody's against me on this court.
I think the first answer I would give you is this is not some product, some differentiated product that has just been created, and we're now testing whether or not it was adopted in good faith. We're talking about a product that was created 116 years ago in response to abuses that were occurring as a result of instances of professionalism in athletics in order to restore integrity and the social value of college athletics almost 100 years ago.
So we've been doing this a long time. Must be fine. Also, we did this in order to create a thing that otherwise wouldn't exist because of the abuses of sports back in the day. And if we didn't do this, then this unique thing that we've created would go away entirely, which people love and which people enjoy and which people obviously love to watch and pay money to watch through advertising revenue and sporting event admissions and so forth.
Justice Brandeis in
the
Chicago.
You can only ride on the history, I think, Mr. Waxman, for so long. I mean, a great deal has changed since 100 years ago in the way that student athletes are treated. And, you know, I'll take you back to Justice Alito's question in the kind of payments that they're given. You know, a great deal has changed even since Board of Regents, let alone 100 years ago. So I guess it doesn't move me all that much that there's a history to this. If what is going on now is that competitors as to labor are combining to fix prices.
I mean, like I said, I'm telling you, you work your way through the justices. Roberts, he says, well, you guys won't allow them to be paid, but you will allow them to have insurance taken out against their future earnings as a way of compensating them for giving up or foregoing the pro sports in order to stay in the NCAA. How can that be right? You have Justice Thomas who asks them, you don't limit coaches' salaries, right? And they make an enormous amount of money off of all of this. Justice Kavanaugh.
I start from the idea that the antitrust laws should not be a cover for exploitation of the student athletes. So that is a concern, of overarching concern here.
They don't casually, lightly use words like exploitation on the Supreme Court, by the way.
I mean, it does seem, as Justice Kagan and Justice Gorsuch suggested, Justice Alito, the schools are conspiring with competitors, agreeing with competitors, I'll say that, to pay no salaries to the workers who are making the schools billions of dollars on the theory that consumers want the schools to pay their workers nothing. And that just seems entirely circular and even somewhat disturbing.
In other words, all of the people watching want the kind of, nobody said the word, but slavery wages that are being paid to these NCAA competitive athletes, and the product is unique and therefore okay because they don't have an alternative. Which, by the way, one of the arguments here is that you can allow somewhat of a monopoly, although they sometimes use the word monopsony, but it doesn't really matter. The distinctions are not that important here. You can allow this as long as it's to foster competition, as long as it's within a competitive environment where you have alternatives. The problem is that if you want to go outside the NCAA and sell your labor, what's your alternative? You know, not much. So the one thing that's going to hold them back on sweeping strikedowns against the NCAA, which is honestly where I think they're trying to go, is to basically say, no, this is a bunch of nonsense, and it's unbelievable that it's existed this long. The one thing about this that's going to hold them up is that they don't want justices and judges to be in the business of telling an organization what the wages should be. And quite frankly, that's because they're worried about destroying what the NCAA does. Because once you bring in any kind of increased pay alternative for the athletes, you probably can't go back to what we have right now. And they're worried that if they go that direction, as a practical matter, it's going to be the end of amateur athletics. Justice Sotomayor.
How do we know that we're not just destroying the game as it exists? Meaning, we're being told by Mr. Waxman that all of these educational-related payments can become extravagant and as a result be viewed by the public as pay for play. Any fix would come after the fact, after the game has been, after amateurism has been destroyed in college sports. How do we ensure that doesn't happen?
And yet, interestingly, that is not a genuine legal question. That is a question of practicality, more for what legislators would have to ask. And so the real issue here is not whether it might have an adverse outcome of destroying, you know, amateur athletics. The question is, what's lawful? And so I would be very surprised if the Supreme Court doesn't come down with a maybe even unanimous ruling about the NCAA being in the wrong and what needs to be done to make them be a lawful enterprise as the kind of monopoly or monopsony that they really are. 6:47 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Well, let's start at that intersection over at Garson Point Road in Avalon, because I am starting to see some delays, mainly affecting southbound traffic, but northbound starting to show some delays as well. But if you once you're north of the light going towards I-10, it's flowing smoothly, and I'm not really seeing many southbound delays going towards the light there, just minor at the moment. But going northbound along Garson Point Bridge, looking a little slow moving, and eastbound on Gulf Breeze Parkway is still backed up around the area of the Tiger Point Country Club. If you're around I-10 and I-110, just keep in mind on I-10 going eastbound, we're seeing some minor delays around the Alabama-Florida border. There was construction going on there yesterday. I-110 checking and clear. I'm starting to see some delays now at the front gate of NES Pensacola, backed up almost to Interbay Avenue. And this report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you, because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I'm always telling you about Christina Leavenworth, all the homes she sells. She and her team at Leavenrinke Realty sold 130 homes last year, down economy, bridge out, pandemic. I mean, all the stuff that was going on. The market here in Pensacola is just hot. You still have to know how to use it, right? You still have to know how to do it. It doesn't just fall out of the sky for you, but they do, certainly. And what she used to always say was 30 days. I guarantee you 30 days. If your home qualifies and you and I agree about a price, 30 days. She's telling me the other day, she's like, Andrew, honestly, 14 days. You can tell people 14 days. In fact, you tell them, we agree about a price and your home qualifies. Not every home does, but if it does, it's basically price range, but there's a couple of other elements. So if your home qualifies and we agree about a price, I'll sell it in 14 days or I'll write you a $5,000 check. And she's like, Andrew, 14 days is an easy promise. They're almost all under 7 days. Often like a day, 2 days, 3 days. This idea about it's got to take forever, just it's not true anymore. So if you're thinking about selling your home, even if you just want to find out, you know, what could I get? Give her a call. Find out if your home qualifies. Find out what the price would be. And then make an informed decision about whether you want to sell your home quickly for a good price. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they'll help you. 723-9158, 723-9158. National average for a gallon of gas, 287. Florida average, 284. Bridgeport, California, 529. Athens, Texas, 214. Worst and best in the nation. In Navarre, it's 278. East at the Walmart, 275. West of the Walmart, 289. Up 87. If you're in Gulf Breeze, 290 in proper, 284 in Tiger Point, 279 at the foot of the Garson Point Bridge. In Milton this morning, 282 at the Raceway before Avalon, 287 down Avalon, 281 at the, that's the Pea Ridge Walmart, 285 in both stations in Pace. In Pensacola, Pensacola, much cheaper, $2.59 at the Raceway North Davis. Same price at the, looks like the Shell Station, University of 9 Mile. $2.56 at the Murphy in front of the U.S. 29 Walmart. And coming in from the southwest side, looks like $2.80 at the Navy Exchange, $2.79 at both the Murphy on Navy and also the TNC. So there you go. 6.52 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. By the way, on this Avalon Boulevard, Garcon Point Road light, I said this before, but I'll just say it again. I think yesterday it was a train wreck. This morning, it's not. Things look okay this morning compared to normal, frankly. I think I wanted to give them an extra day to see how the tweaking would go on the timing of it. It's not going to be constantly monitored. They're not going to have remote ability, and it's not going to be an on-demand thing. But, of course, the northbound part is easy, right? You're either going straight or you're turning right. That's not a conflict point particularly. Not a lot of people going south on Garcon Point Road this morning, although maybe you do to work around traffic. 6:53, Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Nearly 80,000 new COVID cases reported overnight. Experts blame some of the more contagious strains. Former FDA commissioner says children could be leading outbreaks in some states. Mitch McConnell warning corporate America to stay out of politics. When it comes to the hotly contested debate on the new voting law in Georgia.
It is easier to vote in Georgia after the new law than it is in Delaware now, the president's home state.
Of course, McConnell critics quick to point out, while he wants CEOs to stay out of politics, he has no problem accepting their campaign contributions. A new Stand Your Ground law goes into effect today in Ohio. It eliminates the requirement for a person to retreat before shooting someone else in self-defense. Also takes the burden off the shooter, means prosecutors now have to prove that the shooting was not justified.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 6:54, Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, yesterday was the men's national championship, Baylor-Gonzaga. Gonzaga heavily favored until the game actually started.
Scott Drew's dream comes true. Coach Drew and Baylor complete college basketball's greatest rebound and rebuild with a championship.
86-70 was the final in that game. Baylor dominating straight from the tip-off, scoring 9 unanswered points. Eventually, Gonzaga scored a free throw and missed one of them, but then that just sort of set the tone from there. Defensively, offensively, everything Baylor did was just right, and they won, and deservedly so. Congratulations to Baylor. Gonzaga, however, is the favorite to win next year, and certainly we'll see when we get to next year. Also, remember when the MLB All-Star Game got moved out of Atlanta, and of course there's been a whole bunch of pushback and just a lot of politics getting involved with sports. Very uncomfortable for me, but the game has been moved. There's a location. Right now, reports are saying that Coors Field in Denver is going to be the next location, which means when's the home run derby? Because that ball is going to fly, and I can't wait to see that. I imagine there's going to be a lot of home runs in that one. I'm Davis Allen with your quick shot, and now rolling this into your traffic on the fives. Andrew, you were just mentioning it, the light at the intersection of Garcon Point Road and Avalon. So far, not really seeing too many delays just from the light itself, but actually seeing the normal delays I normally would see. Your Gulf Breeze Parkway going eastbound is backed up around Tiger Point Country Club. Also seeing some delays as you're going northbound on Garcon Point Bridge, but then it appears to check in clear once you get off the hump and get through the toll plaza. And as you're going southbound on Avalon, I did receive an earlier report that there was a minor possible accident. They weren't sure if it was an accident or not, but two vehicles were pulled off to the side of the road right before you get to Mary Kitchens Road. Not really seeing many delays stem from that either at the moment. If you're traveling along I-10 going eastbound, there are minor delays at the Alabama-Florida border. There's possible construction going on in that area. That was the case yesterday. And the front gate of the NES Pensacola showing minor delays backed up about midway onto the bridge. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So when you got into business, why did you do it? You got into business because you thought you could do something better than was available in the marketplace, right? You could offer better medical services, better legal advice. You could build homes better. You could, you know, service automobiles better than anybody else. You probably didn't get into it because you thought you were an expert on health insurance alternatives or dental plans or HR tools and resources, right? I mean, in fact, probably if you're like most business owners, that's the stuff that make you dread because you know you're not an expert. You don't really care. It's a lot of details that are not your field of expertise. And you want to help your employees both attract and retain them, but it's just, it's not your thing. It's not fun. It takes time away from what you really love to do. That's where Torgerson Causey comes in. So weirdly, the stuff that you don't like to do, they enjoy. They're good at it. They like doing it, and they like helping you be able to focus on what makes your business click. So If you want to talk to them, it's completely no obligation. They'll take a look at everything you're doing right now, from your employee benefits plans to your HR tools and resources to your payroll stuff, and they can find ways to help you, give your employees options. That's what they do for us here at News Radio. They gave us options. I love that. My wife loves options. We can make choices that are best for us. So give them a call, 20 years locally, 433-9996, Torgerson Causey, or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Worried about the level of hygiene at your business?
Future News Davis. Will the NCAA get struck down in some degree by the Supreme Court of the United States?
I believe they will.
I do, too. I think that's happening. Will the light at Avalon Boulevard change, be better within the week?
They're going to tweak.
They're going to tweak it. It might even go away. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Diverging double diamond interchanges planned for 9 Mile and for Pine Forest on I-10. Will both of those happen?
Do we need it?
I do.
I'm going to say yes.
Will 9 Mile ever not be under construction?
No.
We'll be back.